Good morning. Healing. Turn that one off.
Yeah.
Good. It's nice and sensitive.
That's good.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Maybe if I'm over here, it won't sing to us.
Here we go.
Oh, that's good. That's very, very good. Healing a lot of times is seen as non-existent unless you're going to an MD, unless you're going to an emergency room, unless you're, you know, that God does not heal today as he did in scriptures. Well, I hope all of you come to the understanding and the realization that's even better, right? Understanding and realization is that God still heals today.
Yes.
As he did in scripture, and he heals not only through doctors and nurses and hospitals and all of the medical sciences, but he also heals through people like you and me. Now, healing is an actual spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift given to individuals in the body of church for the sole purpose of building the body of Christ and glorifying God. Now, there are a lot of different spiritual gifts that are in scripture that are listed. So if you have your Bible, if you would please turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Could I have a volunteer to read verses 4 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12? Yes, sir, please. He raised his hand first. Okay.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will.
What do you think that means?
There's one Spirit and he gives lots of gifts. And we don't all have one, all of them.
Exactly, Meg, exactly. There is one Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit chooses which gifts you receive. And each one of us has a unique set of spiritual gifts. Now, some of us in here have the gift of healing. Everybody may have the gift of healing. I don't know. But I do know that of each individual in here, we each have a unique set of gifts that God will use for the building of the body of Christ. Now, healing is but one gift. It is but one gift. Now, if you were to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14, what does it say there?
Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit.
Okay. That's really important to remember. If you have the gift of healing, you're not King of the Hill. You're not. If you have the gift of prophecy, you are not tops. You are not number one. If you will have the gift of discernment, you are not top dog. What that scripture says is that all of the gifts work together and they strengthen each other. Healing is but one gift that works in the building of the body of Christ, and it needs, for healing to truly function as God intended, we need to utilize and exercise all of the gifts that God has given us. Now, the gifts of this Holy Spirit are found elsewhere in Scripture. Another place is Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Another is Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. But what I want to emphasize is in 1 Corinthians 13, when Father Chuck preached on this last week, and he talked about the most important thing that we can do is love. That love is the most important. And love as not as in the ooey-gooey February 14th type of love, but love. Love as God commands us to love. So if we do not have the gift of healing, but if we are loving as God calls us to love, healing will take place many times in the utilization of the gifts that God has given us. So what is this gift of healing? How does it work? And what do we do with it? First of all, I have no idea how it works. I don't know. I just know that God does indeed heal. My first introduction into healing and how that happens is with our daughter. Our daughter, Shelley, was 5 years old when she was diagnosed with acute lymphocytic leukemia. This was way back in the dark ages. And she's 42. Oh, my gosh, I'm old. No, she was 42. She was born in 1976. And we went to the doctor. We were at the Santa Rosa Children's Hospital, and the prognosis was dire, very, very dire. And but I didn't hear that she was going to die. I never heard that she was going to die. My husband heard that. People around us heard that, but I never heard that. Well, Shelley, at 40, she's 42. She's 42 now, and she's healed. But it did not happen like that. It did not happen like that. It took about 11, 12 years. Years before she was diagnosed as healed. She's happily married and has 4 children. She does have a math learning disability. But I don't know if that's from the chemo or if that's from her mama. I don't know. You know, but here we go. So that's when I was first introduced to healing. Because through that, I was praying. What do you, God, you've got to heal my daughter. Other people were praying for her. Community came together and prayed for her. And the doctors were amazed that our daughter lived. And I have seen things like this happen before. I have seen things like this. So I said, Lord, what is this? What is this? And that's when I became involved with the Order of St. Luke. And the Order of St. Luke is a healing order. And its sole purpose is to bring about, it, through Scripture, God's healing. They have healing. It's a healing ministry. They come together. Not only do they teach what Scripture says about it, they have healing services. And it can get really, really deep. Now, if you watch some of the stuff on TV, a lot of people, when you say healing, they think of Benny Hinn. Are any of y'all familiar with Benny Hinn? Well, I personally don't think that's it. Because in Scripture, and in a minute, we're going to look at one of a single scripture here, and next week we'll look at many more, but about how healing occurs and what occurs there. It's not hocus pocus, y'all. It's real. God does heal, and he heals in the manner in which he sees fit and in the time frame of which he sees fit. And if it was left up to me, Shelley would have been healed on the second day, and we'd have gone home, and she went to kindergarten. But no, it was 12 years later that the doctor said she's cured, that she is indeed cured. So how does this come about? What goes on? And so the only way that we're going to figure that out is if we look at Scripture and look at what God has told us through Scripture about healing. The first healing I would like for you to look at is Jesus heals an official's son. Now, depending upon which translation you're using, the official sign is he's the royal nobleman, the royal official, the official. He has a lot of different names depending upon the translation. But what we need to realize is this was the top dude in the court of Herod Antipas, and he was coming to Jesus. He was coming to Jesus because his son was dying. Have you ever been in that spot where it's just desperation? You don't know where else to go? Well, that's where this man was. He was in absolute desperation. He knew that Jesus was different. He knew that Jesus could do things, but he didn't know where else to go. His son was dying. So he goes to Jesus and he asks him to come. My son is near death. Could I have a volunteer to please read the scripture as written on the paper that's out? Yes, ma'am, please.
So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee.
Okay, let's take this scripture apart. Where did Jesus go? He went to Cana in Galilee. Had he been there before? What happened the first time that we know of that he was there? What's the first sign? He's at a wedding, and what did he do? He fixed that problem, didn't he? He took those huge, huge containers of water, and he turned it into the most bestest wine possible. And that was even pointed out that this was the best wine possible. All right, so he had already done one sign, and the people knew that he's slightly different. If you would go to verse 45, if you have a Bible, and you would you please read verse 45 of that same chapter? Yes, ma'am, please.
So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast.
Okay. They welcomed him because they had seen what he had done. Have you ever been real excited about somebody coming because you want to see what they're going to do? They were really excited about Jesus coming. They welcomed him because, well, what's this dude going to do now? Let's see what trick he pulls out of his pocket now, which is really dissing Jesus. Because they didn't see him as a human. They didn't see him as a man. They didn't see him as a human. They didn't see the power that was there. They didn't see that. They wanted to see the tricks. They wanted to see what beautiful things he would do. So when the official goes up to Jesus and he says, "Come, my son is at the point of death," what did Jesus say? That would be verse 44. I'm sorry, verse 48. You just want to see signs and wonders. Exactly. It says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus is saying, I know who you are. I know where your mind is. I know what's going on around here. But I want you to notice what the official said. What was the next thing the official did?
Sir, come down before my child dies.
Come down before my child dies. He asked again. So far in this short scripture, we have that Jesus has come to Cana of Galilee. He's known as a miracle worker. He has already performed one sign. The people greet him expecting another sign, but this official is in desperation. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Come, my son is dying." Jesus says, "Unless you see a sign, you're not going to believe." And then the man says again, "Come. Come before my child dies." And then Jesus said, what did he say? Verse 50. "Go, your son will live. Go, your son will live." A sign. A sign in Scripture. A sign today. A miracle today. John calls them, in the Gospel of John, they're called signs. We call them signs and miracles, miracle sign. They're together. All right. A sign has a purpose. That sign, that miracle, that purpose points to the glory of God. And it also can be the entrance into belief for people who witness this sign. It opens that door for belief. How many of you ever heard that you didn't have enough faith so you weren't healed? Well, that's a crock. All right, it truly is. It truly is. Because does this nobleman have faith? No, he does not. He's up against the wall. He knows nowhere else to go. And that place to go is to Jesus because he knows Jesus has the power. He does signs and wonders. I can ask him. And Jesus points out to him, "Unless you have these signs, you will not believe." But what does Jesus do? He heals him anyway. What does this tell you about Jesus? He loved him anyway. That there's compassion. That's your answer to your question. The compassion that God has for us in our ignorance, when we just don't know any better, he loves us. And in that love, he reaches out to us and he provides for us what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. The official wanted Jesus to come to his house. But what Jesus told him was, Jesus told him that, "Go, your son will live." And the next part of that verse is, "The man believed the word." The man believed the word that Jesus said. He didn't believe in Jesus yet, but he believed what Jesus said. He believed the word. How many of y'all have heard scripture or heard something that was just really out there and you didn't know if it could be true or not, but you operated on it anyway? It's called faith. Yes, believing in the things that we cannot see, the things that we don't quite understand, is how Apostle Paul describes that. But here, the official believed the word that Jesus said. I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to take him at his word. And so he was going home, and who met him? The servants did. And what did the servants say? He's recovering. He's going to live. He's going to live. All right, and so then the official begins to ask a few questions. What time did this happen? And he puts it together that the time that Jesus spoke, "Go, your son will live," is the time that his son got better, exactly. He started recovering. He was going to live. He started living. And then what happens in is that the father knew, I'm looking at verse 53, the father knew that that was the hour when Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and his household also believed with him. Remember, a sign is an opening to faith. In my experience, I have seen people healed, receive a miracle. The people around them recognized it. It was a miracle, but they themselves did not see it, did not recognize it, did not come to faith in God. I had a parishioner whose daughter was in a horrible car accident. And the only thing that saved her was God's providence, God's miracle. Her family became very devout, very faithful. She did not. The person who receives the miracle may or may not become faithful. But the people who witness the miracle have that opportunity to enter into faith with God. You've learned three things in this one scripture. First of all, no matter what, ask. Ask. If you're not sure, if you're not quite sure, if you believe, if you don't know if this can absolutely possibly be true, ask. If you don't ask, how are you going to know if God will? Ask. Our Lord has compassion. Our Lord has love. And when you find out that the Lord has love and compassion for you, what does that tell you? That he cares. Have you ever had a really rotten kid? I mean, just one day he gets up out of bed and he is just rotten that day. Have you ever had a kid like that? Yeah, the next day, the day before, it could have been absolutely wonderful, but that day he's rotten. Does it change how you love him? It does not. It doesn't change how. Not a single one of us can say that we're perfect. Not a single one of us can say that we have never, ever disappointed God or disappointed our member of our family, or not a single one of us can say that we are without sin. But even so, God loves us. And in that compassion, Jesus told the official, go, your son will be well. But did the official give up with one ask? No. How many times did he ask? Twice. So what does that tell you about prayer and healing? Persistence. Keep at it. I think there's scripture somewhere in the Bible where Jesus said that some other time, didn't he? Persistence. Keep at it. Keep asking. Keep asking. And then when you receive your answer, believe. Faith will come. The faith of the individual being healed in the other scriptures that we will read, sometimes that person has the faith, sometimes they don't. But faith is always present. Faith will always be present. In this case, it's Jesus who has the faith and carries the faith. So what kind of questions do you have? Yes, sir.
So you started out obviously saying we're going to talk about miracles and signs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned your daughter's illness for 11 years. So how do you distinguish between the natural processes of life and how the body works? Because when you think of miracles, it's stepping outside of the normal processes mm-hmm. of life.
Death is a gift of healing. Death is healing. We are not designed to live forever. And death is nothing more than death is when we cease. But in our faith, we will be resurrected and we will be made whole. God's desire for all of us is wholeness. And for each of us, at some point, death will be part of where we go. So, as difficult as death is for us who remain, because it's our grief, our sorrow, our loss, it is also, for the individual who dies, an opening into eternity. And which is very much so part of God's plan. Yes, sir.
Just to speak to that question is
if you have a horrendous headache and you take 3 aspirin and your headache goes away, is that a miracle? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the sense that it is medication provided, it is God's providence, it is there. A miracle now, I believe that every breath we take is a gift from God. That's my belief. I believe that every gift, every breath we take truly is a gift. Every day that we have alive upon this earth is a gift, and that God is present in all of us, and that eternity begins when we come to faith because we realize that we are in the presence of God. And with that, we see the miraculous all of the time. But the definition of a miracle, sweetie, do you remember that definition of a miracle?
A miracle is a natural event that, occurs in an attitude of prayer and is accepted on faith as God at work in the situation.
So, for example, like Jesus' first miracle, the water to wine, that's not a natural event. Like water.
It is not a natural event. No, it's a sign. It's a miracle.
So there were, you defy the laws of biology and physics and chemistry to create this supernatural.
Exactly.
And we see that as outside the norm.
Exactly.
And we say, oh, this man must be amazing because he's doing these things outside of the norm.
I have a pastor friend who, when he was living in Port Lavaca, there was a hurricane coming, headed straight for Port Lavaca. And he went out on the port. You remember Carl? He went out on the peninsula, out on the pier, out in there, and he stood there and he prayed against that hurricane. Well, all of the weather forecasters and everybody said, it's coming to Port Lavaca. You better pick up and pack up and move. You know, but that hurricane turned. That turned. All right. Was it his prayer? Was it a miracle? Who knows? But he was praying. He was there. Other people were praying, and that hurricane turned. Yes, sir. David had a question.
Okay, it's a statement. I used to have a blind spot in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
I had almost lost my sight in this eye. And the next time the doctor did a field test on my eye, that blind spot had disappeared, although it had been there for many, many years. Was that a miracle, or was science doing something? Was the fact that my brain took over and rerouted the nerves a miracle, or was it just an event?
Why can't God work miracles today? He still works miracles. And you know, God uses science. And God uses medicine. God uses your brain. God uses all of who we are and all of the sciences to do miraculous, wonderful things. Okay.
Okay. When Sue talked about our daughter, she jumped over an 11-year, 12-year time frame. We discovered she had leukemia when we took her to a doctor in San Antonio because she'd been bitten by a brown recluse spider. They could not begin
Harold Green cataracts. Okay.
What Sue didn't tell you is that when all of this process started, I was about 8. I made no bones about it. Our daughter.
See, a sign, a miracle, will show to the glory of God and be the door opening for individuals to come to faith. In our case, Emmett came to faith. In Scripture, the nobleman and his household came to faith. But I caution you, don't go looking for signs and wonders, because God will do what God will do. And when people are healed, it can be very quiet, or it can be, wow. But the deal is, God does it.